Amen, amen, amen. They came to him with the intent of accusation. What do you say? Moses' law says this, but what do you say? I'm so glad we can let the Lord have a say in our lives. Amen. In our needs, in our situations, we want him to have the last word. Praise God. Amen. And so, Brother Churchill, come and preach that word. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, glory. Hallelujah, anyhow. Brother T.F. Tenney was leaving a restaurant one day and went to pay his tab, and there was a little sign there that said, "Hallelujah, anyhow." And the owner of the restaurant was there, and he said, "What's with your sign?" He said, "Well," he said, "look around." He said, "The restaurant's full today. Hallelujah, anyhow." But he said, "There are days when there's just a couple in here, but still, hallelujah, anyhow. No matter what the circumstance, hallelujah, anyhow." Amen. It's so good to be in Sterling. We love you folks. Appreciate you so much. Amen. Praise God. A lot of people think there are magnets in those pews. Some people never, they just stay there. They're stuck. The young preacher went to the country church and they needed some renovations, and he made a plea for about a month and just nothing. So they had metal benches. So he got the bright idea. He called an electrician in, and he had the benches wired, and they came up to a little box under the podium, and he had a $50 button, a $500 button, and a $1,000 button. And he got up the next Sunday and made his plea. He said, "I feel faith here today." He said, "I want all those that give me $50 for a renovation." Nobody moved. He went under and pushed that $50 button. People started jumping up all over. "Oh, that's wonderful," he said. That increases my faith so much." He said, "I want those that give $500. And people sat there, and man, he pushed that $500 button. People started jumping up. He said, "That increases my faith so much. I want those that give me $1,000. And he pushed that button, and he electrocuted 5 Scotchmen. You don't know if those pews are wired, and I've got a little box here. No. Jesus said, "Except you become as a what? A little child. You can't enter the kingdom." Brother Mitchell, Jesus said that. Not Peter, Paul. Jesus said, he put a little child in the midst and said, "Hey." So we're going to become as little children here today. I want you, if possible, physically, if you're not able to, but if physically possible, get out in the aisles, would you? Just get out from, yeah, thank you. Amen. I appreciate that. Now, there's room over here. There's no magnets in those walls over there. Okay? How many remember Sunday school? Thank God for Sunday school. And how many remember a course? "The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord." Now we're going to jump. "If you want joy, you can jump." Come on, come on. "Want joy, you can jump for it. If you want joy." Oh, my. If you want joy, you can dance for it. If you want joy, you can dance for it. If you want joy for it, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you want joy, you can shout for it. If you want joy, can shout for it. If you want joy, shout for it. The joy of the Lord. And I'm worn out. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There's joy in the house today. I said there's joy in the house today. I don't care what gas prices are. I don't care what the economy is doing. I'm in the house of the Lord and I feel joy. Amen. Praise God. And we're going to jump. We're going to shout. We're going to dance. We're going to run because of the joy of the Lord. Now you can return to your seats. Now the $64,000 question. Does anybody have any idea what I might be preaching about today? Amen. Down in my heart to what? To stay. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, yeah. Wow. So I can preach till I've gone through 3 bottles of water. Philippians chapter 4. We got a 44 here today. Philippians 4 and verse 4. And I can almost guarantee you that just about everybody in the building today has read this verse at some time or another. Rejoice. Teacher, what's R-E? Rejoice in the Lord. When the bills are being paid, when everything is going good, you just got a raise. No. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And my Bible has a, is it a colon? And then a little conjunction. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always rejoice in the Lord. Oh, and in case you forgot, again, I say, rejoice. Praise God. I want to preach to you today just on two words. And again. And again. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Perkins, for a wonderful, wonderful Sunday school lesson. My, my, my. I've heard messages, I've heard lessons ever since I can remember growing up in an apostolic church about water baptism. But I am so glad when he announced his subject today, there wasn't the thought, oh no, another message on water. Oh my, I thrill. Thrill, brother. Praise God. Thank God for the water. Amen, amen. Now, it's been well said that this entire epistle of Philippians can be summed up in two very short sentences. Number one, I rejoice. Number two, you rejoice. I rejoice. I don't want to rejoice by myself. I want you to rejoice with me. The word rejoice and the topic of rejoicing and being glad in the Lord shows up in every chapter of the book of Philippians. It's like some hidden, beautiful brook ever sparkling and flowing out into the sunshine from beneath the dark shadows of the cliff. And this continual refrain of gladness is really all the more remarkable when we pause and remember the circumstances that Paul is writing it under. The book shows us that he is a prisoner. And the health department didn't show up on a weekly basis to inspect the cleanliness and everything of the prisons of those days. They were rotten, they were terrible, they were filthy, they were dirty. And that's where Paul is writing this letter from. He's dependent upon Christian charity for a living. And other than Timothy, he has no man like-minded to cheer his solitude. And then there is the uncertainty as to how it's all going to end with him. The thought of the possibility of becoming a martyr for the great cause of Jesus Christ. Yet out of all the darkness and all the dank and all the negativity that was surrounding Paul, his clear notes ring jubilant. And this very positive, encouraging epistle comes from the pen of a prisoner who I said wasn't certain but that tomorrow he would be a martyr. Hallelujah. The exhortation of our text, with its very urgent repeating, picks up again a dropped thought that the apostle had first introduced in the beginning of the third chapter. Apparently his intention was to close out the letter, for he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. But then it seems as if he's drawn away into that precious personal digression which the Philippian church and which we today very much needed. He speaks of his continual aspiration and effort toward things yet not attained. And so he comes back once more and he picks up the thought and addresses himself to his parting counsels. The repetition in the text becomes the more impressive if we only remember it's a repetition of a former injunction. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then it's as if he can hear a Philippian saint. It's as if he could hear the saints of the ages down through the years saying, Paul, you've already told us that once. And Paul's emphatic reply is yes, and you're going to hear it once again. This command is so vital. This command is so important. It'll be repeated a third time. So again I say, rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. And I come to Sterling, amen, on this 22nd of May. And I am encouraging you something that you hear your pastor encouraging you and these other ministers at times encouraging you to rejoice. Amen. And it is said that what is the best teacher? Repetition is the best teacher. And so this preacher comes on this Sunday, amen, encouraging you once again in this rotten, terrible day and age we're living, when it seems you step out the door and the world tries to draw and to take away all of your hope and all of your cheer and all of your joy. But I've come to encourage Sterling Pentecostal Church once again. Hey, just rejoice in the Lord. You may not understand why you're going through the test and the trial. You may not understand the circumstances you find yourself in. But if you'll just rejoice in the Lord. If you'll just rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friends, Jesus has everything in control. Hallelujah. I said he's got everything in control. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, amen, he'll make all things known unto us one day. But until that day, all right. Amen. Iris Stanfield wrote a song years ago. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Unto then, with joy I'll carry on. Hallelujah. Until the day mine eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. Devil, you're not going to get my joy. Hallelujah. Amen, devil. When I come into the house of the Lord, I'm entering his gates with thanksgiving. I'm coming into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. I'm rejoicing today. God's been good to this boy. Hallelujah. I said, God's been good to me. I don't know about you, but he deserves all of my praise, all of my worship. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Your pastor brought such a beautiful lesson Thursday night. Amen. And I agree, Pastor. A lot of times it's not convenient to serve the Lord. But as he was teaching, I got thinking of these little mom and pop stores. What do we call them? Convenience stores. And I thought, I wonder when the first convenience store showed up. I thought maybe the 50s, 60s, 1927. Yeah, 1927. And over a period, I think it was just a year or two, $350 billion. Spent in convenience stores. Amen. And Pastor, there's so many people today that want a convenient religion. Amen. Just come when I come Sunday morning, just pat me on the back and tell me how good I'm doing. Amen. You and Jesus got a good thing going and everything's going to be okay. Amen. If you want that convenience junk, there are a number of churches around here where you can go and get it. But I'm glad there's a church in Sterling, hallelujah, that when you walk in here, you're going to hear the truth of God's word. There are going to be times you're going to get your toes stepped on. There are going to be times it seems salt is being poured into the wound. But friend, they shall know the truth, and the truth, not convenience. The truth shall make them free. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for truth today. I'm glad out of the 7 or 8 billion people in the world, I'm in a church and I know the truth. I've been buried in His name, and of Him I'm not ashamed. I've been filled with His Spirit, hallelujah. And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm going to rejoice. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Are you glad today? Some of you need to notify your face. I'm glad. I'm glad. Why are you always smiling? Why are you always happy, it seems? I know what you've gone through in the last couple months or whatever, but yet you've always got a smile on your face. Hallelujah. I tell you why. I've got the joy of the Lord. I said, I've got the joy of the Lord. And I've never seen anybody receive the Holy Ghost sad. Hallelujah. It puts a smile on your face. It puts a spring in your step. To know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, our Christian gladness is such an important element in our Christian duty. I said our Christian gladness is a very important element in our Christian duty. And the difficulty and necessity of it are indicated by the urgent repeating of the injunction. Pastor Glover, I'm afraid we have too many, Brother Mike, we've got too many anemic Christians, amen, around today. Amen. Thank God. How many remember the remedy years ago for tired blood? Geritol for tired blood. There are some people need some spiritual Geritol. Amen. Something to get the joy of the Lord back in their lives. Amen. Thank God. Nehemiah 8:10 is a great and very necessary truth in the child of God's life. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. I said the joy of the Lord is your strength. You feeling anemic? You feeling weak in the spirit? Hey, friend, just get some joy back into your life. Hallelujah. And the devil's no dummy. I'm afraid the enemy of our soul, whom Paul tells us has come but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, unawares has stolen into many people's lives and taken their joy. And the tragedy is so many of them aren't even aware of it. Amen. We get good, amen, at the habit of coming to church and the habit of clapping hands and raising hands, because that's what apostolics do. But oh, is it coming from an inspiration deep inside of your heart? Amen. Is it coming from joy? Hallelujah. Peter later said, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Oh, do you have that joy today? Hallelujah. And as I read this very familiar portion of Scripture, the thought came to me that close union, close relationship with our Lord is the foundation of real, true gladness. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That union, your relationship with the Lord is the foundation of real, true gladness. Now, if you only have a relationship with Him on Sunday morning and Thursday night, I feel sorry for you, friend. Amen. My foundation, hallelujah, amen, is the relationship I have with Jesus Christ. Brother Mike, not just on Sunday, but on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Friday, on Saturday, when the sun is shining, when the sun isn't shining. Amen. Hallelujah. The foundation is my relationship. What's your relationship with the Lord today? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you get a daily relationship and you can't help but get joy. Hallelujah. And rejoice in the Lord has a very much deeper meaning than we sometimes attach to it. We're accustomed to speak of rejoicing in a thing or a person. And when we do that, that thing or person, amen, thereby represented as being the occasion or the object of our gladness. Amen. Yeah. If you walk in the post office tomorrow and open up an envelope and there's a check for $50,000, I guarantee it's going to put a smile on your face. Amen. I guarantee you're going to be sharing it. Amen. The smile, anyway. You're going to be sharing the smile. Well, what are you smiling? Oh, I just got a check for $50,000. Amen. So where is your gladness based today? So many people, gladness is based in things out there. I'll never forget playing golf with my good friend Dave Shoemaker, psychologist here in town that moved away now, and not an apostolic, but walking down the fairway one day, and we stopped. We had been talking about different things, and he said, Stu, when are people going to come to the realization that things bring just a very temporary happiness and gladness in their lives? Amen. And Jesus said, all those things you see out there, they're temporary. And you know, eventually the $50,000 is going to be spent and you're looking for another $50,000. Amen. Eventually the new home, oh yeah, that brought joy and gladness. Eventually you got to repair the roof and you got to do this and you got to do that. And eventually the nice truck, Brother Norm, comes up with a problem and you're shelling money out to that. And constantly looking somewhere, amen, to bring me joy and gladness. But it never satisfies. But oh, when you get the joy of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. I said, when you get the joy of the Holy Ghost, it brings a satisfaction deep down inside. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The apostle's meaning here is something deeper. He's employing that phrase, in the Lord. In the Lord. In the profound and comprehensive sense in which it generally appears in his epistles, and especially in those epistles written around the same time that this letter to the Philippians is written. I give you an example, the epistle to the church at Ephesus, in which you will find the words, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And those words are the signature stamped upon all the gifts of God and upon all the possible blessings of the Christian life. In Him we have the inheritance. In Him we obtain redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In Him we are blessed with all spiritual blessing. And the deepest description, the highest height of the essential characteristic in the Christian life to the Apostle Paul is a life in Christ. Hallelujah. And it's this close union that the apostle indicates as being the foundation and the source of all that gladness. Hallelujah. How many times have you read the book of Philippians? Pastor, I've read it many, many times. You know what? Brother Mike, I don't find one reference to a Philippian jail. Not one reference to what Paul and Silas went through when they came to Philippi. Hallelujah. Now, friend, if you never rejoice in the Lord, Brother Thomas, I'll pick on you today. Pick on Thomas's day. If this young man never rejoiced in the Lord, how can he go to Brother Mike and say, Brother Mike, you need to rejoice in the Lord? I notice you just sit there like a bump on a log and you never lift your hands and you never get excited. And let me tell you about the joy of the Lord. Brother Mike's sitting there. Whoa, wait a minute. When was the last time I saw Thomas get out in the aisle and do the Watusi? When's the last time I saw Brother Thomas? Sister Phoebe, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. Sister Via, where is she? Where's Sister Via? Did she leave? Oh, I so appreciate these ladies. Amen. Hallelujah. Song service starts and man, there they go. Hallelujah. Brother Nathaniel Urshan, years ago when he was pastor in Calvary Tabernacle in Indianapolis, one Sunday night they had a state senator in service. And there was this little old lady, every service she did laps. And sure enough, about the second song, there was a war whoop. And this state senator looked. She jumped up and she started running and he's following her like the NASCAR. I can't get thrilled in NASCAR. I'd get a bad neck. And Brother Ursha leaned over and said, oh, that's our track star. Track star said, yeah, she's running to the New Jerusalem. Sister Phoebe, you're running to the New Jerusalem. You're not just running here. We're running to the new Jerusalem. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, Brother Churchill, I don't get emotional. Hogwash. You get emotional about your sports games and you get emotional about your new boat and your fishing and whatever. But you walk in the house of God and, wow, I can't get emotional. This is what you really need to get emotional about. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, come, let's sing. Let us rejoice. Oh, come, let's sing. Let us rejoice. Why? Messiah's come, and he brought life, and he put laughter down into my soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't get carried away. Just sit down for a minute here. So this man that's telling people rejoice, it's not like he never rejoiced. Need I remind you what happened in Philippi? How Paul and Silas find themselves in the inner dungeon of a stinking, rotten jail. Their feet in stocks. Their backs bruised and beaten, bleeding from the beating they received. Oh, hallelujah. I just get goosebumps thinking about it. And at the midnight hour. I don't think it was midnight on the watch, but at the darkest time of the night, hallelujah, amen, when everything said complain, when everything said bellyache, when everything said just forget it all, amen, Silas says, Paul, what are we going to do? Well, he said, I don't have all the answers, but I've got one answer. And at midnight hour, they began to sing and to praise. Hallelujah. I said, they began to sing. And they weren't quiet about it. Because it says, and the prisoners heard them. And we need to let this world hear. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, we need to let this world hear. Walking through Walmart the other day, and this guy walks by and says the F word about Walmart. And I looked and I said, well, praise the Lord. He turned and looked at me, but I thought, hey, they're not ashamed of taking his name in vain. They don't whisper it under their breath. No, they shout it forth. Amen. When you hear somebody take the name of the Lord in vain, you just need to praise that name. Hallelujah. Woo! The prisoners heard them. When I was in fifth or sixth grade, Sister Glover, this guy came out of Memphis, Tennessee, with a guitar strung around his neck. And the second time he was on Ed Sullivan, they just showed him from the waist up. Because the first time his gyrations got the ire of some people. Mr. Elvis Presley, amen. And one of his big hits was a song entitled Jailhouse Rock. Amen. Mr. Presley, you're about 2,000 years too late to start thinking about a jailhouse rock. Because when Paul and Silas began to praise God at the top of their voice, the old jailhouse began to rock. And prisoners' doors, woo! Hey, when you rejoice in the Lord, it helps to release those that are bound in prison. And bound by the enemy, if you'll just rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I got about an hour and a half more of notes here. But oh, I like this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that waiteth at noonday. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Friend, that gives me reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. I'm having fun. Pastor, I'm having fun. I always have fun when I preach here. There's a good spirit. I preach in some churches and they think they're in the dentist office. I don't feel that way in Sterling. I feel a freedom. And I tell you, one of the main reasons for it is you people know how to rejoice in the Lord. I'm not here preaching to a group of people that don't rejoice. You people rejoice. I'm just here reminding you, keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. Amen. Don't try to fix what's not broken. I said, don't try to fix what's not broken. It's going well.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at all these notes I'm hurrying through. I'm closing. Thank you. I saw somebody just, no, I'm just kidding. I did. As a kid, Sister Glover, I'd sit there and I was wanting to get outside so bad. And the preacher said, now in closing, and I'd get all excited. And 30 minutes later, he's still at it. In 2 Chronicles 20, we read of a godly king by the name of Jehoshaphat. The two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel, they had 19 kings over, I think, 208 years, nine dynasties, and not one of them was godly. Not one. In Judah, they had their share of ungodly kings, but along the way would come a godly king, Hezekiah. And Jehoshaphat was one of them, and he was bringing revival to Judah. Things were going so good. Well, mark it down. When things are going so good, you're going to get the devil's attention. And Jehoshaphat receives word that there's an alliance of a number of nations coming against him. And Pastor, he counted the cost. He looked at the army he had, and the army coming against him, And he said, there's no way we can defeat those guys on our own. Hallelujah. Praise God. The child of God so many times looks out and he sees the armies of the enemy coming against him. And Brother Norm, we realize in myself, I do not have what is needed to gain the victory. But I believe it was a Levite. The Spirit of God came upon him and he stood and prophesied and said, you're going to go out tomorrow, and gave the message, and he said, everything's going to be fine. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the next morning, the army of Jehoshaphat gathers. And there's the cavalry over here. And here are the bowmen over here. Here's the infantry in the middle, Brother Perkins. And they're ready to go out and meet the enemy. And suddenly Jehoshaphat remembers what was said yesterday. And he thought, you know what? I'm glad for my army, and they're a good army. But I'm glad for something else. Hey, Levite, get all those singers. Get all those musicians up here. Amen. And they get all the singers and the musicians up there. And Jehoshaphat said, okay, fellas, you're going to lead the army out against the enemy. I wonder what those musicians and singers kind of felt when they heard that. But Jehoshaphat reminds them of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And that victory is theirs. They don't have to worry. God has said, victory is going to be yours. Amen. And so the enemy looks, and here comes the army of Judah with a bunch of singers and playing instruments and worshiping God. And they start laughing and thinking, what an easy thing this is going to be. But friend, there's something about rejoicing in the Lord that touches the heart of God. Hey, don't need you archers, and don't need the infantry and the cavalry. And the Lord sends ambushments against the enemy. Hallelujah. Because there were people rejoicing. Oh, friend, just rejoice and watch what will happen to your problems. Oh, can anybody stand with me today? Can anybody join me at this altar right now? And let's just rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Before we leave here today, come on. Come rejoicing. Come praising.